All right, 2 Peter, and you kind of already know, especially if you're here Wednesday night, preacher was preaching out of, I think it was Wednesday night here, I tell you, my mind sometimes. I know he was going through 2 Peter, I'm almost positive that's when it was, and talking about growing in the grace of God. And so I just really, it's just a torn out piece of paper this morning. I just jotted a few things down and thought we'd look in different places in the Bible. It's talking about our long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and just what the Scripture says about each one of them if we can get through them. And again, not taking any, I'm sure he'll go back through that again or if he's going to continue in 2 Peter. But what we'll do is look at just examples of men or women in the Scripture. And maybe that'd be an encouragement to us as we try to grow in the Word of God and try to increase our faith and add to our faith. Now, to begin with, I said turn over 2 Peter. If you guys would stay there, and all this has just come to mind again this morning. I jotted this down. Let me turn over here to Hebrews. I might get my other glasses out here. I tell you, having to carry two pair of glasses. I'm trying to make it with one, but I came in with a pair on my head, so I guess I couldn't make it with one because I didn't use them getting in here. But Hebrews, over in Hebrews 5, and you don't have to turn there. I've got it because this morning I was flipping through there, these things I was thinking about. Verse number 11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." And of course, talking there is things that are hard to be explained. In other words, that's Paul talking to the Hebrews, and he's trying to explain some things to them. But verse number 12 is what I wanted to really focus on, says, as far as going back to 2 Peter. So, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." And a lot of you are familiar with that. You've heard that before. Talking about we don't need to be in the sincere milk of the word. Of course, when we're saved and we get started on the milk, like a baby that's being born, you know. Milk helps a child grow, mature. I know Maggie now, she's drinking that True Moo chocolate milk. She gets the whole milk. Kim said, "Maybe we need to cut that down to 1%. I said, "No." I said, "She's just turned 11 years old. She's growing. If she wants the whole milk, let her drink it." I said, "She's still a growing kid, growing child." And I say that because it's hard. I don't know what it is, at least with our girls. They've not wanted to drink milk. So any type of milk product they'll get, cheese, I'm glad to have them get because it helps them grow. Got the calcium, everything. You know, you think about that, especially being women. And so as I think about that, Word of God is the same way. We need to start off with the milk and need to understand the Word of God and get a good foundation. What Paul's saying here is, wait a second. He said, some of you have been dull of hearing. You've not paid attention or you've not added to your faith. It's the way I read this here. And he said, you go back and you need the milk now again. You don't need meat. Because what the Lord wants us to do, I think from reading this, and we've heard this taught and preached before, is we start out with the milk of the Word. Start out slow. Start out with something that's liquid, something digestible, something you can understand. And then you increase that or add to that, and eventually you're on strong meat. In other words, you can take it. You know, of course, Billy Mitchell, I know he seemed like, I guess he would have, maybe starts his treatments coming up. But I know many times he said, "Can you take it?" You know, when he'd be preaching. If you've heard him, remember he says, "Now, can you take it?" When he'd start. And what he was getting ready to deliver to us or give us was the Word of God, but strong meat sometimes is the way I took that. In other words, can you digest it? Can you handle it? And so as we look here, I think that's what 2 Peter, as Peter starts here, I think as he goes through these and we'll look at them, as growing in the grace of God is, can you handle it? In other words, as we look at each one, you'll see how each situation, it seems like as Paul mentions here in Hebrews, don't be dull of hearing. In other words, add to faith. And then we're going to talk about what we add to our faith. But also at the same time, be ready for that strong meat at some point. You're going to have to come off the milk. And just as we do as we grow and as kids grow and children grow and they eventually come off the milk. Maybe they still drink it, but it's not the primary portion of their diet. They're able to eat other things. So if we look here this morning, we'll look in verse number 5 here in 2 Peter, and we'll just read down just a few of them. maybe three or four verses. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we'll stop at again today. And so we're going to look just at, I guess, what we think would be the fruits of the Spirit, things that we should be, and it says that we add to. And so as I read that and think about this, we so many times, I'm guilty of this, and I don't know if any of you are or not, but I guess we expect God to give us everything. And he does. Of course, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. And what I mean by giving us everything, when you think of wisdom and knowledge, and you think of what Solomon asked for, and you go back and read, especially in the Old Testament, and Daniel and Joseph. But if you look at those men's lives, Ruth, I think of. If you look at their lives, Esther, I can keep going. If you take examples or little snapshots out of their lives, there's times when they give everything up for God, and God blesses them. And so follow me here. Here, as you see, this says add to your faith. It doesn't say God's going to add to your faith. It says add to your faith. In other words, there's some work involved. And as I think about that, as you read that, so add to your faith. In other words, God's given us the faith, and Pastor mentioned that on Wednesday night. He's given us a measure of faith, each one of us. We might believe. But as you look here, there's going to be some work on our part as well. And you think about those old patriarchs over in the Old Testament. You say, well, look what God did for them. That's true. He'll do the same for us, but there was some work on their end as well. Look at what occurred in each one of those situations, each one of their lives. Think about that. You know, I think we used Noah just recently as an example and how he preached. And for 120 years or something. I think pastors mentioned, and I remember Preacher Jack used to say, seven were saved, and they were his family, but at least he got his family in. But he continued to preach the Word of God. He did, and of course built the ark. And I guess it was the pastor mentioned that, because they went up to the ark up in Kentucky. So as we look here, there's some things that we're expected to do as well. And I guess there's work on our part. I think about Joseph and his trials and his life and what he went through and where the Lord brought him out to. And anyway, I keep going. You think about as far as, and we'll get to this in a second, the patience of God and long-suffering with us. Came to mind just to share it with you. Think about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar when he saw the writing on the wall and Daniel in interpreting that. Knew that God had been long-suffering with the kingdom. Because remember, that's more like a grandson. They carried that title, Nebuchadnezzar. But again, he was more like a grandson of the one who was cast out into the field for those 7 years. So you think about how long-suffering or patient God was with that nation. And then he rendered judgment on them. Of course, they was having that big party. And if you notice in the Bible, anytime anybody has a party like that in the Scripture, somebody ends up dying, or a country ends up overthrown, or a nation goes into captivity. And so that ought to be a warning to us. But as Daniel warned him, Daniel brought up the fact that it'd been years, or he had knowledge of, or should have known. In other words, he should have added to, and again, that was a Gentile nation, but they still, his grandfather would have worshipped God or acknowledged God. He should have added to that, and he failed to do so. Much like many kings in Israel, they saw what had happened the generation before when they worshipped God, but they got away from that. So I say that today, in this day and age we live in, it's very difficult, to get through to people or to it was like a guy was telling me at work. We were talking about what's the compass that people are guided by today? Is it just to obtain the things of the world? Is it to please God? Is it to only please themselves? Is it to get ahead and step on everybody else to get there? I mean, because we were at work, we were talking about different things. And the thing he pointed out, in which he was right, he said, but Brian, he said, that's been with man. Because he was talking about this. He's almost like he just needed me to bounce it off of. Because I didn't say a lot. I was eating again. I guess I was trying to get as much in as I could. But he said it's almost like he said that's not changed. He said man still has always had those desires. And if God doesn't come into a man's heart or a woman's heart, and I say man, I mean all people, he said that's not going to change. And so, and I've spent a lot of time already. And I tell you why this morning, as I just glanced through that, all these thoughts come to my mind, so I'm just sharing them with you. So I think that's why it's important that we take this as an add to your faith. In other words, there's work on our part as well. So the first one would be virtue. Add to your faith virtue. And, of course, into virtue knowledge. And virtue, of course, we think of as moral excellence. And so that should be the first thing we add to our faith. And you guys, we've had this as Sunday school lesson, I'm sure, before at some point in times past or heard it preached from. But as I look there and we think about moral excellence, I just look through the Scripture and just Scripture came back to mind. If you look at, or I can turn there. I always say look there, but it makes it quicker, I guess, if I just flip over there because I kind of know where I'm going. But over in Luke, remember correctly, chapter 8, verse number 50 or maybe before, let me see. No, verse number 45. Or let's go down to verse number 44. No, I'm going to go for verse number 43. Luke number 8, I'm sorry. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent, I've got to get my glasses, all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and then immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter, and they were with him, said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." In other words, excellence has gone out of me. In other words, power. And it's so as we add to our faith, virtue. And if we look there in Jesus Christ, it was of course, the power he had is a God-man. It's power of God that he had. Now, that's not the virtue here that is referring that we're going to have. We will at one time we have a body like his. But right now, it's talking about just moral excellence. And as you link the two and look at that, the power of that, and you say, what do you mean power and moral excellence? Well, it's other people examining or watching your life and how you live your life. And then that's why I add to your faith virtue or moral excellence or do the things that are right. Follow the Bible. Follow the Scripture. People will watch that. They'll see that. And that goes hand in hand. As you see, add to your faith virtue, which would be moral excellence, follow the Scripture, what does God say, what are God's commandments, what would he have you do? The very next to that, and to virtue, would be knowledge. Because to get that, you've got to have knowledge. And as we look in the Scripture, an example I try to find in knowledge, I think a lot of times of spiritual truth. What's the truth? You know, you hear so many things on TV and radio and today, you don't know what's truth and what's false. You know, I had mentioned to the group yesterday, or I guess to Pastor and to Brother Steve, to remember Kim's family. Kim's dad's sister passed away. And Kim had probably been as close to her as any of the aunts or uncles. And so Kim's dad wanted to tell her. And so he called me and he said, "Well, don't tell her." He said, "I'll tell her when she gets home." And said, "Then I'll explain what we think happened or whatever." You know, of course, I guess the circumstances, you know, they always, it's like an unexplained death. You know, if you find somebody that's passed away, you always want to know what happened, you know, what caused it. And a heart attack or whatever it may be. And so they don't know. But what I'm saying is, getting here, I told him, I said, that's fine. So I'll honor his request. My father-in-law has been good, like a dad to me over the years. And so that's fine. But I told him, I said, but in the days of social media, that's going to be hard to do. I said, she'll probably find out before you ever tell her, just because of social media. And sure enough, that's what happened. You know, things get posted, things get passed along. In other words, knowledge today, or what we think is knowledge, is what we gain. We think we can find anywhere. We get on Facebook, we get on these social mediums. I think kids use Snapchat a lot, whatever they use. I think Twitter's still out there. I don't know what all's out there because I took advice from one of my students 12 years ago. He told me, don't get on that. He said, it's nothing but a time suck. He said, it'll suck the time right out of your day and probably life right out of you. And he laughed. His name's Bruce Jones. I don't mind telling you who he was. He lives down in Savannah, Georgia now. He's got kids and family of his own. I took his advice. I thought, this young man, what he says makes sense. And I've not got on that stuff. And you probably can do that and turn it off and on. But what I found is I don't have that type of personality, I guess. If I start reading, I'll say, well, what's the next one say? Oh, well, they're getting fired up now. I better go to the next one. So I knew not to get into that because, you know, I found myself that way just in daily conversations, you know. People get stirred up at each other, and it's hard sometimes to pull yourself away. You know, you think about it. You be out somewhere, and you think, well, somebody's getting ready to get into it. Well, you don't usually run out the door. You usually start, well, I need a few more items. Let me see what I need. Yeah. You know, it's that human nature. See what's going on, you know. You always want to look out the window. Something's happening at the neighbors. What's going on, you know. And so you got to, you know, it's just our curiosity, I guess. And I guess that's where that phrase comes from. It's not scriptural at all. But curiosity killed the cat, so to speak. You know, you just, and you know, we talked about that last Sunday sometimes in minding our own business, taking care of ourselves. Well, that knowledge that this is referring to here, you don't get on Facebook, you don't get on Fox News, you don't get on CNN, you don't get from the local news, you get from the Word of God. It's a spiritual truth. And as Mr. Grizzle's told us time and time again in the years he taught Sunday school for us, he told us almost at the end of every time, and Brother John's told us, is that every problem you have in this world, the answer's here in the book. He said, you just got to look for it. You got to find it. You got to search it out. And it's in there. It's not found in the world. And so as it says, add to our virtue or moral excellence. And again, we looked at the virtue it talked about with Jesus Christ. Of course, it came out of him and even it healed that woman. That type of virtue we wouldn't have, but we'd have the type of virtue that others that might be lost might see and they might get saved. But to do that, too, we need to add to that and have knowledge, have spiritual truth, know the Word of God that you might share it with somebody else. And let me see. And as we look here and get back over here to, I've let my scripture close, and to knowledge, temperance. The temperance, patience, and the patient, godly kindness. And in knowledge, we think of temperance. And as we look at temperance, we think of, self-control. And that's one of the hardest things to do. You know, I think it gets easier as we get older. I don't always know that's the case, but it seems that's the case. Seems like when we're younger, we tend to lose it a little quicker. And what I mean by that is something not go our way, whether we're in the right or in the wrong. I was coming up on the interstate the other day, and Johnson City come off Roan Street. I don't know why I'm a little ways out. I still use it, even though I'm only driving 20 miles. I still turn it on, and it sent me another way. So as I looped up onto the interstate, I got over. The guy didn't yield and get over, and I thought, well, what's his problem? He's not letting me over. I said, don't he know how to drive? Doesn't he pay? Man, all these things went to my mind. I was losing my self-control. I was. I went down. I've got, if you know anything about that distance, just from Roan Street down to North State of Franklin, it's not but about a mile or two there on the interstate. And then it hit me. I was in the wrong. He was right. There's a yield sign there when you come up. I was supposed to yield to him. He wasn't supposed to back off and let me on. It was my job to yield to him. And I thought about that. How many times are we that way in life that it's quicker to think that we're in the right? In other words, our temperance or meekness, or gentleness is not what it should be. And in that case, I think more temperance. Meekness and gentleness are more, I guess, like synonyms. That's kind of what they refer to. And I think of Paul and Silas when they're in the jail. They were very meek. You think about that. Singing psalms to God. The jailer sitting outside the jail and outside the door, and he probably heard them singing. He thought, well, what's wrong with them? I don't know, you know. But that found its place in his heart. Of course, we know what happened. Earthquake came, shook the jail, and all the bonds were loose, and the doors were open. They all could have ran free, and he took his sword, going to get ready to take his life. They knew they'd kill him anyway if he let everybody go, and they hollered in there and told him, said, we're all here. Do thyself no harm. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Meekness. They thought more of what, not necessarily, they didn't think about their environment or what was going on that could affect them. They thought more about God and the things of God. And that's hard to do, I know. Like I said, I was driving and your mind's off somewhere else. And as we've mentioned before, you know, you wake up in the morning and it's like we have good intentions to get the day started. And then by noon, and sometimes with me it's not by noon, sometimes it's by the time I get there 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm already trying to fight against myself thinking, oh, man, you know, why did I do that, or why did I say that, or the day, you know, who was, I guess that was Pastor that read that, that had that little poem that he read that, and I don't remember all of it, I just remember at the end of it, it said, because I have not even got out of bed yet. He was asking for forgiveness. He hadn't even got his day started yet, and he was already asking God to forgive him before he got his day started. Even at that point, because he knew what was coming, that you're going to have to, it's like a you're in a boat or a canoe and you're trying to paddle. And rather than floating downstream, you're just trying to hold what you got and stay where you're at. Because you know, it doesn't seem like you're going to make it upstream at all. So that's what I think about with temperance or meekness or gentleness or kindness. You know, you think about our gentleness, and especially as children of God, and this came to mind this morning, I thought, think of that Good Samaritan that came along. You think about that. Two others passed him by, but the Good Samaritan, who was a Gentile, by the way, come along and took the man, took care of him. He'd been beaten and robbed and almost at the point of death. Meekness, kindness, temperance. And as you look and we grow in the grace of God, these are all examples for us, that maybe if we break each one of these down, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperances, with each one of those, or they should they be our actions? I'm not saying we don't take care of one another, and we do, and others, but that's the way we should be as we go through this life. You know, you go through this life, one time, and this was... yesterday I heard, I guess it was a preacher on the radio, it was an AM station, I can't remember, and he was talking about that it's so quick, it's so fleeting. You know, it seems like you're 10, 11, 12 years old, and you can't wait to get out of school, and then you blink, and you're out of high school, and you're working, or you go to college, whatever you do. Then before you know it, you turn around, you've got a family, and you're working all the time, support them, food on the table, and then before you know it, they graduate. Then before you know it, you're up in years, and just blink of an eye. And so life is truly like a vapor. And I think, if I recall, that's what he was preaching on, was vapors. How we're just a vapor society, maybe, is what he was saying. And how it's just a fleeting time. And so there's a short period of time in which we grow in grace and knowledge and our virtue, et cetera. Here, let me move on. I'm looking at my time. I've just got a little bit left, and we'll get on the way here. So as we look, it says, into God, into knowledge, temperance, into temperance, patience. And patience is long suffering, and I've read this to you already this year, because it's just since I've gotten back, since probably April or March, this verse has really just bugged me, and I don't know why. It just not bugged me in a bad way, but just stuck with me. I don't know if there's a lesson there or what, but over in Romans chapter 2, because I think it's fitting for all of us to keep in mind, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. And you know, I think about, just as I read this now, and I got one other verse to read in that chapter, but if we add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, or that meekness, that goodness, that gentleness that God would have us to have, we would be long-suffering, or we'd be patient with one another, but just as God is patient with us. And that's what it begins to say here. It said, to judge others, of course, we think about that would condemn ourselves as well if we're guilty. And it says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. So you're talking about, do we despise the things of God? How good God's been to us? Not knowing. In other words, just doesn't have a clue. No knowledge that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and an impotent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Do we forget that sometimes? So as I think about that, and I look at patience, and I think about the patience God had with David. And you know, I know Pastor mentions that, brings David up and said, you know, when other kings were out at battle, he was at home. He should have been out where he doing the will of God. Instead, he stayed at home. It got him in trouble. I remember that the missionary that came, and it comes to my mind quite often. He talked about David, and he was using David, and talking about when Bathsheba and her husband's name. You have to help me. Don't remember. Yeah, Uriah. Thank you. And he used Uriah as the center point of his, remember the Sunday school lesson in here one morning. And he was talking about Uriah and the character of the man. And remember how he talked about how, and this sticks with me, and I guess it's one of those things that you think about. Now, I didn't realize this. I went and studied even a little more about Uriah, and he was one of David's mighty men. And to qualify or to be one of David's mighty men, that'd be like what we'd think today, be your Army Rangers or your Navy SEALs. In other words, he was what you would think would be one of your letter of the law, so to speak, strict military type men. And I remember he brought that out about Uriah, and I thought, you know, when he gave him that note to carry to the commander, to put him on the front line, to have himself killed. You remember, he took that and stuck it in his pocket. He used a piece of bulletin or something and stuck it in his coat pocket. He said, that's what Uriah had. And he said, did Uriah look at the note on the way? And I've often thought about that. And you said, well, it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't. But what matters, it makes me think this. If he was such a strict military and he followed orders no matter what, okay, he wouldn't look at it. But let's say it took him a day's journey. He thought, I wonder what that note says. I wonder if King David's got us moving, going to move the mill. I better look and see. And he looks at it, sees that it's to move him to the front line, knew he'd be killed, but he still puts it in his pocket, still gives it to him anyway. One of the mighty men of David. You know, and as I think about those men too, how they were chosen and how the men and women with David were chosen, it's really a picture of Christ and saving us. The way I'd read and studied that out is, and if it's correct, is as they'd cross over, I don't remember if it's the Jordan River or, anyway, David was early on when Saul was chasing him, was on a plateau, elevated area, you know, and not everybody followed Saul. You know, a lot of people supported David. Of course, Saul was after them too. Well, and I know it wasn't David individually, but in my mind, this is what I see, because I guess in their hearts, this is what they thought, is they had to come up to David, and David would reach down to them, and he'd say, are you for me or against me? And if they were for him, David'd pull them on up. Here you go. Safety. We're all up here together. And that's how where his mighty men came from, was some of those individuals. And so I think about that a lot of times as God reached down to us. Because in this world, it feels like we're climbing up a hill. When you're lost, it does. You're climbing up a mountain. And sometimes trials in our life, even when you've been saved, feels like you're going up a mountain. What is that song when he sang sometimes? Said he reached down farther than I could reach up. And so I think about that as I think about long suffering. And that brings to the next one too, I guess we think of. As we look over in here, and I know there's godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, and love that we have one for another. And so I think about David's life, think about Uriah a lot, and how strict he was. Did he turn the note in without ever looking at it? He carried his own death warrant, so to speak. And I remember him pointing that out that day, that missionary did. And I said, you know, that's a lot in that, the character of Uriah, the integrity of that man. And as we read these in growing in the grace of God, that's a good example for all of us to look at. And I remember pastors pointed out several times about as good a friend as Nathan was. He knew the king could have him killed too, but Nathan spoke up and told him. You know, it's good to have a friend like that. Speak up and tell you the truth. Point things out to you sometimes. You know, that's some of the maddest I've ever got, some of my best friends have told me things. And then later on, I'd realize that, boy, I'm glad they told me that. They shared it. Others just let you go on. You know what? Sometimes you have something on your face or something like that, you know, and you've been eating, you know. Especially men, sometimes you get a little stubble at the end of the day. Of course, I don't get a beard. Some people have a full beard. I work with a guy. He'll have a full beard by the end of the day. But now, and he can shave again the next morning. Still got a full beard by the end of the day. But sometimes you get a little something in it. You know, you mention it. Say, you got a little something there. And I know women probably do that. But you go, oh, got something around your eye or whatever. Maybe nose, whatever it may be. A good friend, they'll always point that out to you. Others, they'll just let you go on, get in the crowd. you know, you got mayonnaise on your face or something. You know, you think about it. And I know that's a simple example. That's true. You think about it. There's some people who wouldn't tell you anything. You know, sometimes a man, especially shaving, you cut yourself a little bit on the chin. I remember it bled on the collar a little bit. Somebody, hey, you might want to change your shirt. You got a little blood on your collar. Have you got another one? Point those things out to you. And again, that's a very, very simple example. But what I'm saying is they care about you. They'll point little things out, and they'll do that in your lives too. Not only just the way we live. Maybe you shouldn't sit it. You're a little harsh on them. Maybe you need to think about that again. They, in other words, they love you enough to tell you the truth. That's what I see with Nathan. He loved God enough and loved David and knew God. How he felt for David as well, that he still had to tell him. Even though he might lose his life, didn't know how David was going to respond. He still had that godliness about him, that love. And when I say love there, that charity, that love there is a deep love. That's a different type of love. You know, I've heard Billy Mitchell mention it before, and I heard Preacher Jack mention it, and pastors mentioned the two different types of love. And if I recall, Preacher Jack used to say, philo love and another type of love he would mention. I don't remember what it was now, but one was a love just love people in general, that brotherly kindness. We did love the brethren, love one another. Then there's a deeper love. And I recall, and it might have been, I don't remember which one of them it was. Yeah, agape love. Just a deep, deep, deep love. And the example of how it was given to me, it's even deeper than this. He said, you know, a man may love all women, but they love women in a way like brotherly love. But they don't have that type of love for their wife. It's a deeper love. And he said, you think about that, that's how love of God has for us. It's a deeper love. And so as I look here and I think about godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity or love, brotherly kindness, that's doing for one another, which we've kind of talked about that already. But that love that God had for us to send his son to die on the cross for us. And that's what I think here, and again, in growing in the grace of God, and I think that's what Peter, and I think Paul, too, in Hebrews, was trying to point out, trying to get us to recognize and got to get the Hebrews to see, or the Jews to see. And I think Peter here, of course, is the church, and for us to go back and read the New Testament to be aware of as Christians. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge that, you know, we start out on the milk, and eventually we get to meat, strong meat. And I think that's what these add up to. I'm not saying one's easier than the other, but as you begin to add to your virtue, you begin to follow the will of God. And I'm not going to say act, because that makes it sound like you're pretending something that you're not, but you're in the will of God, and God's working in your life. That's when you begin to add knowledge. And of course, as we look at knowledge to temperance, they come one right after the other. And that might get, you say, well, that's building on each other. That's true, it is. And I told you, and I'll be quiet after this, I'm finished, I am, because we're right at the time. And I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but we're taught in school to teach this way. We're not taught to teach this way, but we talk about this a lot. A lot of these programs you have in school for kids, it's not that the material is always that hard. It's just that we give them a whole bunch of material, and some people can't handle the volume. And so what we talk about a lot of times is it's upside-down triangle. In other words, we try to start out like we got some first, you know, school just started. So you got some people just getting in school first year, and you can say this for kindergarten, first grade, anything, as they go through their years. And it's the same way with college or graduate school, whatever it may be. And so we start out like at the bottom of a triangle, just with a little bit. Now, we go pretty fast, but still, we start out that way. And so the first week or two, they think, oh, it's not going to be that bad. But then we add to that triangle. And as we build upon it, as their life and professional life or whatever it may be, we build or add to that or hope that they do. That's the way I see this here. Is we start out with the faith. See, we gave him that little point on the triangle, upside down. And that's why I think when God gives us the faith when we're saved. And that's that little point. But from that, these are things we need to work on and add, that we add to our faith. And that triangle gets wider as it goes up. And your base is at the top. And it all goes back to that point, which is faith, which God gave us. And you think about that. And so I use that as an example because in school, and of course when I draw that on the board, I'm one of the only few teachers I know left. I'm old-timey, I guess, that still uses a board and drawing. I'll draw that triangle. Half of them look at me. Well, I guess I told you guys that one time. I said, what was that survey? I said, I draw something like that on the board, and half of them, see, what was it? 70% of the kids in the class not paying attention. Let me get that. 10% are paying attention. 20% are either on the phone or falling asleep. The other 70% came to see what the other 30% were doing. That's what they said. And so I feel that way sometimes. But you guys aren't that way at all. But I say that because I'll try to share that with them and say, look, we're going to work on this one point. And then we'll grow out from that. And in 4 years, you guys will be amazed at what you know. And I'll share that with you, too. You know, we've said here before, you start out reading the Word of God. We talk about that knowledge now. You start out reading the Word of God 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a morning. Just give yourself that amount of time. Before you know it, you'll be up to 15. Then you'll be up to 20. And that might take you a month or two. That might take you a week. I don't know. You keep doing it. And you, as you look and as you grow in the grace and knowledge, as you see, get off that milk a little bit, start getting on some strong meat, as that triangle expands and goes up, you'll be amazed what you know. And that'll be what God's given you from His Word. All right, got time to visit this morning.